Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the transfer rumour mill here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow. Lots to talk about tonight. We're starting in Spain with all the latest from La Liga. We'll be getting the French perspective on one of those deals as well, because we're hearing that PSG forward Neymar could be set to make a sensational return to Barcelona. Now, we've got to talk about this because, first of all, I was under the impression that when Neymar left Barca, he of course forced this move to PSG through, he didn't behave particularly well. Let's be honest, Neymar often doesn't behave particularly well. And he left under a bit of a cloud. I wouldn't go as far as saying he burnt all his bridges, but he wasn't a popular man in Catalonia. Now, we're hearing that he's going back to Barca. Well, firstly, does this show us that Neymar has failed? It certainly shows us that this PSG move has failed. But the reason why Neymar left Barca in the first place was nominally to get out of the shadow of the greatest footballer of all time, Lionel Messi. We were hearing reports that Neymar basically wants a Ballon d'Or. He wants to be able to say at one point in history, I was the finest footballer in Europe. And he thought, well, I'm never going to do that when I'm playing second fiddle, when I'm in the shadow of someone like Lionel. So he went to PSG, the rationale being, well, I'll go there, I'll win them the Champions League, I will be recognised as the greatest in my own right. That, of course, hasn't happened. He spent far more time arguing with Edinson Cavani about who takes the penalties than he has actually playing football. But now if he goes back to Barca, there's a broader point here because, fine, if they're willing to forgive him, if he's willing to play second fiddle to Messi, these are big ifs, but okay, this deal clearly does have legs. Barca wants him, PSG are willing to sell. But I want to talk about the figures involved, the price of the deal and the other clauses, because this is already looking remarkably complex. First of all, we're hearing in The Mirror today, and also on Sky News, by the way, that Barca are offering £90 million cash for Neymar, which is already quite a lot of money, although he did cost PSG roughly 200 mil. But they're also going to offer two players. Now, normally, when a club offers players plus cash, the players involved in that deal are surplus to requirements. They're the proper dregs, with all due respect, that you don't need in that squad. For example, if Chelsea weren't in a transfer ban and were trying to sign a central midfielder, they would try and sweeten that deal possibly by offering one of their less important central midfield players. Say they wanted to go and sign Choudhury from Leicester. They'd say, well, all right, we'll give you 15 million and you can have Danny Drinkwater back. They wouldn't go, right, okay, we'll sign him and you can have Michy Batshuayi, you can have Willian, you can have one of our better players in the mix, because clubs don't do that. Or do they? Apparently Barcelona might, because we're hearing there's a list of six players being offered to PSG. PSG get to pick two of them in addition to that 90 mil. And on that list are names including Felipe Coutinho, Ivan Rakitic and Ousmane Dembele. Now, Ivan Rakitic, I can believe, he's a fabulous footballer, but he's the wrong end of 30 now. His value is dropping. He's not getting any younger. Fine. Ousmane Dembele, despite having not quite settled in Barcelona, is still one of the most exciting talents in world football. He's two-footed, he's quick, he's clinical, he's incredibly intelligent, and he himself, individually, was this time last year being talked about, what, 150 mil as a transfer fee if an English club wanted to go for him. Arsenal were linked, Liverpool were linked, Barca were willing to talk, but not for anything under the 100 million mark. So when we're talking about a 90 million fee plus player deal for Neymar, well, even if there's just Ousmane Dembele, we're already looking at, what, the best part of 200 million? 160 mil there, absolute minimum. And then you think about who the second player could be, because Felipe Coutinho, similarly, only turned up at Barca a couple of years ago. He was, again, this star big money signing who, it has to be said, hasn't quite worked out for him. He's had to play wide on the left in that Barca system, which isn't where he's at his best. Those fans are quite fickle. They're quite unforgiving. We saw that with Andre Gomez and his struggles on and off the pitch in Catalonia. Things haven't worked out for Coutinho. But again, the pedigree that is there from his sensational performances in the Premier League for Liverpool is such that he's worth 100 mil. At least. He cost Barca roughly 148. So we're looking at 90 million plus 100 million plus 100 million, really, in value in terms of players and cash. 300 million, near enough for Neymar. Now, he's a fantastic football player, but he doesn't come without his problems. He's had consistent off-field issues in Paris. He's argued with his teammates, namely Cavani, who, as far as I'm concerned, he's just completely failed to show sufficient respect, rather, to one of the finest strikers of his generation. He's punched fans in the crowd. He's had his leg broken after rainbow flicking an opponent because he's permanently on the wind-up. And he's consistently disrespected his manager, Thomas Tuchel, by trying to go on holiday when his boss doesn't want him to. If I did that, I'd get sacked. But unfortunately, I am not Neymar. This deal just seems like someone's judgment has gone. That someone at Barcelona is looking at Neymar and going, he is the man to take us to the next level. He is the man that we absolutely have to sign, and we'll do anything to get him because the value there is just bizarre. Ousmane Dembele's a kid. He's a kid. He could be worth 200 million in his own right. 1 year in Paris where he scores 30 goals, bang, 200 million pound player. Easy. In today's market, no question. And it's going to be a complex deal as well because we've covered on this show in the past, a swap deal sounds really simple. And if we were playing FIFA, it would be. You'd go, hello, there's the money. Here's one player. Here's another player. That makes the value done. These guys are humans, right? Not only do we need Barca to accept the deal, PSG to accept the deal, Neymar to want the move, then Neymar's agent to be happy with the cut he gets, Neymar to be happy with the contract. We then need to know that Felipe Coutinho has any interest in moving to Paris at all, which, to be fair, most of us would. Ousmane Dembele, I suspect, actually would. He's been linked with a move back to France in the past. But even then, both of these guys have to agree contracts, right? There are so many different factors here that need to come off for the deal to happen. And with that, with how difficult it's going to be, with how expensive it's going to be, you have to start thinking about why Barca, who are not normally a team who compromise, suddenly seem to be panicking in the transfer market. This is what it looks like. And you wonder whether they're looking across town, they're looking across the country at their age-old rivals, Real Madrid, who've spent big, big money on Luka Jovic from Eintracht Frankfurt. So they've signed arguably the highest-rated young striker in world football. They've spent big money left, right and centre improving that squad. And Barca, despite bringing in Frankie de Jong, might just be going, we need to do some investment as well here. And maybe it's a status signing. Maybe it's saying we've still got it. We've got this appeal. We've got this attraction that means we can sign the best player in world football even after he's left us. Even when he's flirted with Real Madrid, if we want him back, he'll come back. And if you're a big name player and you think you're going to better yourself by leaving Barcelona, you could not be more wrong. And talking of hard to explain transfers, we've got to talk about Arsenal. Because we're being told time and time again, and we're going to get into the meat and drink of their transfer rumours in just a moment's time, but we're being told time and time again that Arsenal have got 40 million quid in the transfer kitty. Finances really, really stretched at the Emirates. 40 million quid, absolute max. Unai Emery, how's he going to do it? He's going to have to operate on a shoestring. This can't be true. I don't believe this is true at all because we've got the news breaking in Marca today that Arsenal are closing in on Grêmio's Brazilian forward Everton for £39.5 million. They've also bid £40 million for Wilfried Zaha. If we're believing reports, they had a £25 million bid turned down for Celtic's Kieran Tierney. They were looking at £28 million for the Belgian winger playing for Dalian Yifang, whose name is Yannick Ferreira Carrasco. My mind went for a moment there. And they're also looking at £25 million for Thomas Meunier as well. Now, we've got two options. Either
Arsenal are going, well, we'll bid for all of these guys, and one of them, who's worth 40 million, will sign, and he'll be our signing. So either Arsenal have got this completely scattergun approach to transfers, where they don't have the first clue what they're doing, or they've been playing this a bit clever. And Arsenal have got way more than 40 million quid. Now, we're not going to see them spending hundreds of millions, but I think if we're sitting here towards the end of August and Arsenal have spent 80 million, 120 million quid, particularly if they get a few big earners off their wage bill, that wouldn't surprise me. And the reason why, if you're Arsenal, you would play up to the fact, if you like, that they're not perceived as succeeding at the moment, play up to the fact that they've not got Champions League football, is you can play that as a bargaining chip for other clubs. If Arsenal were to walk out there and go, we've got a £500 million transfer budget, which obviously they don't, but if they would say, we're the richest club in Europe, we're going on a huge recruitment drive and we're going to re-establish ourselves as a European superpower, every single club you try and negotiate with this summer adds a zero to the end of the transfer fee. They add at least another 10 mil and just go, right, well, if you're so rich, you can pay a premium. Whereas if you go 40 million, you put the likes of Crystal Palace on the spot. Because when you go to them and you say 40 million and they say, no, not a chance, and then you've turned the head of Wilfried Zaha, he says he wants to go to Arsenal, Palace have got to compromise because they've got a want-away player now. You've effectively turned his head. They've got to go, well, okay, 50 million, maybe. You drive them down just by virtue of making them feel that you don't have as much money as you actually have. Something here isn't quite right. Someone is telling porkies, and I suspect we're going to see Arsenal spend well over that 40. And a quick word as well on Danny Sturridge, who's being linked today with a move to Aston Villa on a free. Now, Sturridge, now he's got his dog back, can focus on being a prolific striker. And I think we all forget that that's what he is, or at least that's what he can be. He's a guy who is about as natural a finisher as you will find. And he's had terrible injury problems. There are suggestions that his attitude isn't perfect, that he perhaps doesn't like playing if he's anything other than 100% fit. But if Aston Villa can get an ageing Danny Sturridge on a free, can unlock the best of him, that movement, that finishing, play him in a system that suits him, they actually could get a real bargain there. And I love the idea of a newly promoted, and let's not forget, massively historic English club giving an English player a chance. And if Danny Sturridge were to fight his way back into the England squad, that would be fantastic and something we should all wish to see. But we've got to talk Neymar. And coming up in just a moment, we're going to be talking to Nikolai Lisberg, who's a Madrid-based Spanish football expert, about just how likely this move is.
This is Love Sport.
Transfer rumour mill here on Love Sport Radio. And a quick update for you from the Open. Holmes and Lowry are sharing the lead at 8-under. Updates for you throughout the show. McIlroy still struggling, bidding to make the cut. Delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Nikolai Lisberg, who's a Madrid-based Spanish football expert. Good evening, Nikolai. We're talking Neymar this evening because Sky are reporting that Barca are offering 90 million quid plus two players to bring the Brazilian back to Catalonia. Do you believe that?
I don't believe the price and the two players, and I believe reported that the two players, Paris can pretty much choose between a list of six players, including Dembele, Coutinho and Rakitic.
This is insanity, isn't it? It's got to be rubbish.
Yeah. It sounds too much to me like a football manager game, you know, like you play with your friends and you really want to play and you add whatever players you got left into the deal. So I don't believe that. I believe, though, that there is a contrast and the contrast is, there's an interest, sorry. And it's been pretty much confirmed by Tuchel, the coach of Paris. It's been confirmed by Leonardo. I mean, there's no doubt that Neymar wants to leave and Barca is interested in buying him back. But the 90 million plus the two players, that doesn't sound true to me.
As you were saying, some of the names on that list of six players are big. The likes of Dembele, the likes of Coutinho. Obviously, Barca are serious about getting their man, but do you think they'd be open to selling those two guys this summer in a different deal?
I think of the two, I think they are more likely to sell Coutinho than Dembele. Dembele, I think they still believe can become something spectacular. That's also what the president Bartomeu was quoted saying, I think a week or 2 weeks ago. I still think they believe he's a rough diamond. He still has something to offer. Coutinho is a different story. It hasn't worked as they expected. I mean, but it just seems a little bit crazy. They bought him a year and a half ago to make him, by that time, the second most expensive player in the world. I mean, after that transfer sack and in the summer before that with Liverpool, and then just giving him up like that after just a year and a half. But I do believe if they really want to bring Neymar back, they need to get some money. They can't just spend money as they have been doing all summer. So they need to get some money, and Coutinho is probably the one who could bring in the most.
Obviously, Real Madrid have had a very active summer window. They've made some big, big signings, the likes of Luka Jovic joining the club. Do you think that there's an element of one-upmanship here from Barca, where they look at Real splashing the cash and feel that they have to do the same?
I think maybe it's more to do actually with the transfer of Ronaldo last season, and they saw how much Real Madrid suffered last season not having their talisman in their team. And Barca is preparing for a future without Messi. It's still a few years down the road. But I think that's why we've seen them splash money on the young for the future, a Griezmann who can do a job right here, right now, and then perhaps Neymar. So I think it's more to build for the future and then to really target that Champions League title. I mean, they wanted it so bad last year, and losing the way they did against Liverpool in the semi-final really hurt them. So more than anything else, it's about winning the Champions League title and building for the future, I believe.
And in terms of bringing Neymar back to the club, I was under the impression that when he left Barca the last time, he didn't make himself very many friends. He didn't behave all that well. He subsequently flirted quite a bit with Real Madrid. Is all forgiven?
No, I don't think. I think there's still a lot of Barca fans who don't want him back, but football is also a game. If you play well for a few matches, if you do well, if you bring your club trophies, everything can be forgiven. I mean,
but he's not got better since he left, has he, Nicolai? I mean, he's not actually set the world on fire in France.
No, really, really not. I mean, he's had some decent games, of course, but you would expect that from a player of his quality in the French league, to be fair. But it's true, he hasn't really gone better. He hasn't become that. I mean, one of the stories we heard when he left was that he wanted to go to Paris, he wanted to be the main man, he wanted to challenge for Ballon d'Or, and he couldn't do that being in the shadow of Messi. And he's been far off that ever since he left. But I think for Barcelona, it's also, they need to think, okay, if Neymar wants to leave, who else is going to get him? This is probably the most hyped player. He's still one of the world's best players. There's a risk that Real Madrid could get him. There's a risk that Juventus might get him.
So do you think Barca are signing him just to keep him away from their Champions League rivals?
I don't think they're going to splash that much money on a player just to keep him away. They obviously know his qualities. They know how good he is. They know what he can bring to the club and so on. But to get back to your original question, I think it was if the fans are going to accept him. I mean, when Barca bought Luis Suarez in 2014, there were also a lot of fans disliking him because of what happened at the World Cup 2014, him biting Chiellini, I think it was.
Yeah, but well, again, let's rewind back to 2010 and his absolute act of horrific cheating against Ghana, for which I shall never forgive him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but then there was a lot of players thinking like, no, this is not the kind of player Barca should sign. Just like a lot of people think that Griezmann is not the player Barca should sign after what happened last year.
And what, because he messed them around?
Yeah, and making a movie about the decision, as he called the documentary, about why he wanted to stay in Atletico and why he cheated Barcelona. So I think as long as you deliver on the pitch, you can be forgiven for most things. And there's still a lot of Barca fans who remember what Neymar did the last time around. I mean, what he did with Suarez and Messi, that MSN trio is still some of the most spectacular football I have ever seen. And I think a lot of fans will be willing to forgive him if he can bring back that level.
Are they not worried, not just about the way he left the club, but his broader attitude? In France, he's made life very, very difficult for his manager, Thomas Tuchel. He's misbehaved at various points. We've seen footage of him punching fans, getting in arguments on the pitch, being broadly disrespectful to his own teammates. If you were a Barca player, wouldn't you be a bit worried about his influence?
Yeah, but I think it's different, a little bit different. And when he came to Paris, he was the main star. He was the world's most expensive player by a landslide. I mean, he was the man that this team was supposed to be built up around. I mean, he's coming back to Barcelona. He still got Messi 1, 2, 3 steps above him. I mean, there's no one like Messi in that club. He controls everything, and he knows that, and he knows Suarez, and they have a good friendship partnership. So I think it will be a little bit different. I think he will be a little bit more humble to begin with, and then obviously he will get back to his, should we say, his usual self in time. So I don't think that's going to be a big problem. And if we remember, I mean, Barcelona have always had these players, you call them, they need to have a little bit bad milk, is the Spanish expression, mala leche. And that's what Neymar brings, that's what they liked about.
What does that mean, that expression? Forgive my lack of Spanish.
It's just that you need someone with a bit of temper, someone...
Well, he certainly got that.
Yeah, he got that. Someone who can maybe be a little bit naughty, a little bit aggressive, who can step across the line from every now and then. I mean, they need to be good players, but they need to have that edge a little bit as well. Stoichkov was probably the best example of a Barca player with the bad milk, the mala leche in the history. And Neymar has sort of that. I mean, for all his diving, for all his rolling around and his fancy haircuts and so on, he still has that edge timber in his game. And sometimes I think that's what Barca needs. I mean, we think back to the Paris comeback when they beat them 6-1 at Camp Nou. He was the man who drove them in that game. He was the one taking control, not Messi, not Suarez. That was Neymar. And I think Barca lacks that as well from time to time in the big matches, in the Champions League. Someone who just uses the aggressiveness in a positive way, better than sometimes Messi or Suarez does.
Just finally, Nicolai, do you think Neymar is going to return to Barcelona this summer?
I don't think it's going to be this summer. I think the interest is there, and I think both clubs actually maybe want it to happen, but I don't think Barca have the money, and Paris needs the money. I don't think they would do with two players for Barcelona that who might not even want to go there, who might not even want to leave. And they can't... I still believe he's going to stay this summer. But then next summer, I think it's he's going.
Wonderful stuff, Nicolai. Lovely to speak to you as ever. Thank you for your time. Nicolai Lisberg there, Madrid-based Spanish football expert. And if you've just joined us, a quick update from the Open. Rory McIlroy is pulling it back after that terrible start, but he's still 3 over. He's trying to make the cut, which is 1 over. Work to do still today, or he will be going home. Holmes and Lowry lead tied on 8 under. But let's get the Parisian view on these Neymar rumours. Delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Jeremy Smith, a real expert on all things French football and friend of the show. Good evening, Jeremy. Thanks for joining me. Are PSG looking to sell?
I think they are. I don't think that they felt too strongly about it, but I think Neymar's made it very clear that he wants to leave, and I don't think they'd be too sorry to see him go. It's just a case of what they get in return.
And what would they get in return? Do you believe these suggestions that we're looking at 90 million and then two world-class players as well?
I believe it from Barcelona's point of view. I think, you know, they've obviously spent a lot on Griezmann and only have so much money to spend. And clearly there's at least two or three players there that they'd be probably happy to be rid of. But from PSG's side, they've made it quite clear that they'd rather have the money, and also that they're looking to, at the very least, kind of recoup the money or the equivalent of what they spent on Neymar. So then it's, I guess, arguing the toss. Has Neymar's stock gone down? Has the stock of players like Coutinho and Dembele gone down, for example? I think a lot of people on social media think that PSG should be... I think the first offer that was rumoured was 40 million and two players. I think that was a bit too low. But 90 million, I think, is getting towards something that possibly is a little bit more reasonable. And of the players on offer, they're definitely a few of them are the type of position that PSG need to fill. So I don't know if it's Kidology saying they only want the money, but certainly a decent chunk of cash and a couple of problem positions filled could work out very well for them. And obviously being rid of someone who is just becoming more and more of a disruptive influence within the club.
Are you surprised that Barca aren't taking more note of just how disruptive he has been in Paris?
I'm not. A little bit. I mean, it's not so much the disruption. I think it's, first of all, the kind of bad taste that he left in Barcelona mouths when he left. You know, PSG was certainly kind of public enemy number one in Spain, in La Liga as a whole. But, you know, Neymar certainly played his part, pushing for the move as well. And also, I do think his stock's gone down. When he's played for PSG, he's generally played well, but less so in the big matches. And he's had two relatively serious ankle injuries since he left. So I think if Barcelona are really that interested, I think it's a big risk kind of on and off the pitch. And, you know, I'm obviously biased from the French point of view, but I really think Griezmann is a superb player and can really fit in brilliantly at Barcelona if given the chance. But to me, bringing Neymar in at the same time could well unsettle Griezmann and sort of hamper his chances of settling into the team.
Is Griezmann a man with an ego? Would Neymar's arrival put his nose out of joint? Because all of his behaviour, making that film last summer about his decision to do approximately nothing, suggests to me that he's a bloke who might possibly be a little bit in love with himself.
I think it's probably hard to find any players sort of amongst the maybe top five, top 10 in the world who aren't a bit in love with themselves, to be fair.
And I'm in the bottom 30 and I love myself, so that's probably true.
There you go then. So I think that his off-field behaviour at times is very strange and almost childlike. But as a player, I don't think he's ever, in any team he's been in, sort of shown too much ego. I think at Atletico, he's really sort of embraced Simeone's style of play, you know, worked his behind off for the team, sort of helping him defend and everything. And he's done that for France as well. He's willing to play in different positions. He's willing when he needs to kind of play second fiddle to people like Mbappe, really mucks into defensive tasks as well, sometimes at his own expense. You can read it either way, but there's been, you know, cases of, for example, giving away whereas he'd normally be the penalty taker, letting Giroud take a penalty because he was on a bit of a goal drought for France. So I think he's always shown himself to be a fantastic team player. Off the pitch, possibly there's ego problems, but I certainly wouldn't say that they're on the level that Neymar has shown at Barcelona and at PSG.
And if we look at that list of six players who Barcelona are reportedly putting up for grabs, who do you think PSG would go for?
I think they're still in need of one or two more players in midfield, so I think Rakitic would make sense. Umtiti, I think, would be a very popular choice, but again, there's just the concerns about his knee. And they've just brought in another centre-back, so possibly they're not looking to fill that position. Dembele, I think, also would be popular, but possibly there's also potential behavioural problems there as well. I think Coutinho could be the exciting one. I think another forward player who's versatile, can kind of play in the centre or on the wing, has got quite a lot to prove, showed in the Copa America that when he's given good chances, he's still a quality player. I think he'd be good. And also right back has always been a problem position for PSG. So Semedo is probably the sort of least flashy of the players on offer, but possibly could be the canniest buy or canniest player to bring in.
That's fascinating, because he would not have been high on my list of targets, because
no,
I still
exactly.
Treat it like a six-year-old playing Football Manager. Talking of which, that's a game known for signing wonder kids. Arsenal seem to have done just that. William Saliba is looking to be joining the red half of North London rather than the white. Just quickly, is that a good piece of business?
I think it is. I mean, he's only had sort of two-thirds of a season. He's only 18 years old, so it could still go either way, obviously. But from what he's shown during that first season, he looks a really class act. Already good, comfortable on the ball, confident, very tall and strong. He looks like he's got the full package, possibly. Considering his height, he needs to work a little bit more on his aerial prowess or in set pieces at both ends of the pitch, but he really looks like he's got, you know, everything to kind of the comparisons have been made with Varane, and he's not quite as quick as Varane, but in all other ways, you know, really stylish player, great positioning. He really could be a top defender over the next few years.
Wonderful stuff. Jeremy, lovely to speak to you as ever. Thank you for your time. Jeremy Smith there, French football expert and friend of the show. And if you're just joining us, a quick update from the Open. McIlroy has given himself a real chance at the 16th. Takes a 5-iron at the par 3, hits well off the tee. There's a chance of a birdie here. He's still fighting not to miss the cut. Gary Woodland also fighting back. Just one shot from the cut now, and a good tee shot means he's in with a real chance of making it. Holmes and Lowry still in the lead on 8-under. Updates throughout the show, and coming up, we're off to Manchester.
This is Love Sport.
Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio, and I just want to take a quick moment to talk about Fulham, who we're of course very keen on here on Love Sport Radio. We've got the Fulham Fan Show, of course, every Wednesday night from 9 until 10. And they're doing incredible business. This started with Aleksandar Mitrovic signing a new 5-year deal. I'll be honest, I was a doubter. I doubted Fulham. I doubted Scott Parker. I was looking at a guy who impressed many in the Premier League, just thinking, you can get a move here, son. You can move to a top half Premier League team. You can get a move to Germany. You could get a move to Spain. The world is your oyster. And he went, no, I don't need the world. I need Craven Cottage. So that's already a fantastic start. They hang on to him. Then earlier this week, we get the news that they've signed Ivan Caballero on loan from Wolves. Now, he is a fantastic winger. Really, really talented. So highly rated in his youth that he was picked up by Monaco. Didn't quite work out for him there. Didn't quite work out, it has to be said, either in the Premier League for Wolves. But in that promotion campaign, when they came up in sensational style, he was phenomenal. He's going to be an absolutely class act for Fulham. Him delivering balls into the box for Mitro. He's already lethal. And then breaking this evening, we've got the news that apparently, and I still can't quite believe this, Brighton's Anthony Knockaert is undergoing a medical at the club. Left-footed, sort of right-sided inside forward. Him on one wing, Caballero on the other, Mitrovic through the middle. That is three, not just Premier League quality players, but, you know, decent Premier League quality players. They'd all walk into the Palace lineup, for example, in the Championship. They're going to be absolutely superb. I think this is an absolute testament to the quality of manager that Scott Parker is. And actually, in the Championship, the quality of business you can get done if you're clever with it. If you use the loan market, if you actually speak to clubs, there's an idea. Don't just read the rumour mill. Speak to the clubs. Find out who's surplus to requirements. As far as I'm concerned, Graham Potter, Brighton manager, is absolutely mad for letting Anthony Knockaert leave that club. I know he signed some attacking players, notably a couple of flashy wingers from Belgium, but Knockaert is class. He's shown this time and time again. He scored two fantastic goals against Palace last year. And Scott Parker's got himself a real gem. Quite a story if Fulham comes straight back up to the Premier League. The question, of course, if they do it, is whether they can learn the lessons from last time out, because they made that classic newly promoted club error, particularly when you're quite a wealthy newly promoted club, of going, we're in the Premier League club, spend all the money. It, of course, didn't really work. And you've just got to get a bit clever. And talking of spending all the money, it's time to talk Manchester United. I'm joined on the line by Dom Booth, who is Manchester United correspondent for Manchester Evening News. Good evening, Dom. We are hearing in the Portuguese press, namely in Arbola, that United are set to make a first bid for Sporting's Bruno Fernandes, but they do face competition from Spurs. Can you see this one happening?
Well, Fernandes has been someone that United have been considering for some time now, but we haven't really heard about a bid happening. So it doesn't really surprise me that the bid is going to finally happen. It's been talked about £50 million for Fernandes. It could happen. I think it is a position United need to sign in central midfield. Fernandes' record is outstanding in Portugal, so it'd be one that I think United fans will be hoping gets done.
And Is he the kind of player that United need in midfield? Because there's still question marks over Paul Pogba's future. It's looking like he'll probably stay. If they sign Fernandes, they've then got two very attacking midfielders whose primary concern is creating and scoring goals rather than giving that team a real spine.
Yeah, it's difficult to know whether he's exactly the kind of player they need. What I will say is I think Solskjaer is looking for a proper number 10. I know he's got Juan Mata there, but he's 31 now. And he's been playing with a number 10 in pre-season of 4-2-3-1. So there's potentially room for Pogba in a slightly deeper position and a number 10 a bit further ahead, which could be Fernandes. So it's sort of a bit of a juggling act in terms of the transfers they need to get in midfield for Solskjaer.
An exciting one. I mean, if you had to say whether you could see it happening, do you think Fernandes is going to go to United?
I think he's going to go somewhere because it's so heavily trailed, this move. His agent has been making all sorts of noises about Spurs, Liverpool, United. So I think he's going to go somewhere in the next few weeks. Whether it's United, I'm not wholly convinced. I'd say probably more likely than not, though, at the moment.
Let's talk about players who are already at the club as well. We're hearing that Romelu Lukaku's move to Inter could be on the rocks as the Italian club are questioning whether he's worth 75 mil. That's in today's Sun. Whether or not he's worth it, Dom, given the amount of money that United spent on him, they're not going to let him go for less than 70, are they?
Well, they spent 75 million on him from Everton 2 years ago and he's scored a decent amount of goals in the 2 years since. I know he's not set the world alight, but if you look at his record, it's, you know, it's very, very decent for a centre forward. I've had a source in Italy speaking to me about this one, and he says that the reports of Inter considering alternative targets could be a little bit of a bargaining tool to try and get the price down for Lukaku. They have been talked about with in relation to Edinson Cavani of PSG. I think it's a bit of fun and games at this one at the moment. I think it will eventually happen later in the window.
And are you confident that United fans won't be too sad to see the back of him?
I don't think there'll be mass outpouring of discontent over this one, to be honest. It is clear that Lukaku isn't Solskjaer's preferred choice down the middle as a centre-forward. Martial, Rashford and even 17-year-old Mason Greenwood may be all preferred to him anyway. So I think if United can get roughly the same amount they paid for Lukaku, I think everyone will go home happy.
Absolutely. Let's quickly talk about those pre-existing striking options for United. You mentioned Mason Greenwood there. Is it possible that he could be second choice number nine this season behind Marcus Rashford?
I think it is possible, yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with Anthony Martial because I think Solskjaer would like Martial to play down the middle more often. We've seen him given that role at times in pre-season so far. Greenwood's actually played off the right because he can cut in on his left foot. He's a very two-footed player, Greenwood. I think he's going to get games whatever happens in the coming season, even if United sell Lukaku, sign a replacement, or they keep Lukaku. I think Greenwood is set to get a big opportunity, and from what I've seen of him, he looks like a real big talent. So wherever he plays, this is going to be a player to look out for in the years to come.
Very, very exciting stuff. Remember the name. And just finally, Dom, we're hearing from Madrid that Florentino Perez is trying to convince Zinedine Zidane not to go for Paul Pogba simply because they can't shift Gareth Bale for love nor money. Are you expecting the Frenchman to stay at Old Trafford this year?
I'm reading so many conflicting reports about this one, Johnny. Even I don't know what to believe. All I know is what United have said, which is that Pogba's not going. Pogba looks focused. He looks like he does want to be at the club from what I've seen in pre-season. It's going to take an absolutely monumental fee for Real Madrid or anybody else to land poor Pogba. So I don't think this one's going to happen anytime soon. It will take Real Madrid to shift a whole load of players and United to really have their resolve broken for it to happen. So I don't think this is going to happen.
And is there any chance at all that we could see a world star like Kylian Mbappe turn up at Manchester United in the next few years?
That's a big shout, isn't it? I wouldn't have thought so. I don't think Solskjaer is particularly after world stars, to be honest with you. The ones he has got, he wants to keep, obviously, like Pogba and De Gea, but I don't know where the Mbappe rumours come from, but I can't.
Well, hang on a minute. They're linked with Sean Longstaff. That's a world star.
Sean Longstaff, yeah. The link with Stoke defender Nathan Collins.
You see, the big names are coming in, Dom. Thanks ever so much for your time. Lovely to chat to you as ever. Cheers. Dominic Booth there, Manchester United correspondent at Manchester Evening News. And an update for you from the Open. Big news for Rory McIlroy. He's just secured his fifth birdie in the back nine. Just one more and he'll make the cut for the weekend. You'd have to say he's got a lot of momentum behind him if he does make it. Not so much luck though for Woodland, who settles for par, still only one shot off the cut himself, so both men could make it. And Ricky Fowler has his fourth birdie of the day. He's on 3 under now and just 5 off the lead, going very well indeed. Talking of things going very well, let's talk about Arsenal.
This is Love Sport.
Transfer rumour mill on Love Sport Radio. Talking Arsenal. And Arsenal and Spurs seem to have just been scrapping over transfers this transfer window to such an extent that you wonder whether they actually do want the same players or whether actually they're just doing it to wind each other up. For example, we were talking about William Saliba going to Arsenal. That deal looked almost done. It is now going to happen. But this time last week, when it looked almost done to the tune of 27 mil, Daniel Levy just made a bid. And I wonder whether he really wanted Saliba or whether he was just on the wind-up. I'm joined on the line by Connor Hum, who is also known as Tiki Taka. Connor, an expert on all things Arsenal. Connor, are you enjoying watching Arsenal fight Spurs for signings and, crucially, win?
Yeah, of course. It's nice to see us still be able to attract big players, considering our situation and considering theirs. I don't want to be obviously completely biased or anything, but Tottenham at the moment, they are quite an attractive prospect to go to. They've got a young team, they've got a beautiful stadium, arguably the best in the league now, Champions League football, all that, and then Arsenal can still sign players over them. Still quite nice. It just seems like Arsenal still... I know Saliba, talking about him particularly here, quite a lot of the French, young French players are still... Arsenal quite well supported over in France, obviously, because back in the day, obviously, Wenger with all the French guys back then, so they were growing up watching Arsenal, so they're kind of like their favourite team. So seeing young French players choose Arsenal is not really surprising to me. But yeah, in terms of Saliba, I'm very happy with that. He has apparently picked Arsenal over Spurs, so yeah, pretty much really good.
Talking of which, Goal are reporting that Danny Ceballos has done exactly the same thing. He looked to be joining Spurs on loan and now could be off to Arsenal. How good an addition would he be?
Very good. I think he sort of plays like... I'm not like an expert on Real Madrid. I don't particularly watch a lot of Real Madrid games. I watch more like the lower league teams in La Liga, like Celta Vigo and whatnot. But himself, I think he's sort of like a player who can like... a bit like a Santi Cazorla in like the later years of Arsenal because he joined Arsenal as almost like a number 10, like an Ozil, moved him back towards like protecting the back four, like next to Coquelin when Cazorla played, and it'd be kind of similar, I'd expect, with that guy from Real Madrid if he moved to Arsenal and probably put him next to Torreira.
So you see Ceballos as playing deeper rather than as a goal scorer?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. I wouldn't see him. I don't expect him to score hardly anything, to be honest.
Really?
I don't think he's that sort of player. I think he'd be much better suited to dropping back. And he can drive the ball and whatnot, but he's got such a good eye for a pass. And his main aim will be getting the ball out of defence and moving it through midfield and onto the forward and letting them do their thing, sort of thing. It kind of worries me about what the aim is with Xhaka as well, because I think if he was going to join the club and he did start, I think he would be there to give Xhaka competition, if anyone. And he does, he runs a lot, a bit like Ramsey almost.
Yeah.
But I think if he did come to Arsenal, he'd be more like a Cazorla, like in his later years at Arsenal, more than if he was a forward, like on the back of like Aubameyang and Lacazette. I don't think that would work quite as well, in my opinion.
No, and talking of him feeding the forwards, he could have a new one to play with because we're hearing that Arsenal are close to signing Gremio's Everton for £39.4 million. That's being reported by Marca in Spain. What do you make of him? Do you think this signing is going to go through?
I'm not entirely sure. All I heard was that he was more like a backup to Wilfred Zaha if he was going to be anything. He had like a really good Copa
America. Would you like Zaha? Because I think he's a hype job.
For the price they want for him, I'd rather not. I think he's ridiculously overpriced, but he's a good player. I'd definitely take him, considering our winger options at the moment. We've got a lot of good young players and whatnot, but we still need like a senior winger. I'd like to have like Zaha or this Everton guy. There's a lot of other players as well I'd like to see who can play that role as well, who haven't been named, like Lozano. He had a wicked World Cup.
What a player. Yeah. Do you think he could come to Arsenal?
I've not heard it. I'm just throwing names out there who I think would do well at Arsenal, and he'd fit the role perfectly, in my opinion. But going back to Everton, he had a really good Copa America, and he would be still quite expensive, but when you look at him compared to the price of Zaha, he's about half the price. But obviously, what you get with Zaha, you get Premier League proven. You know what you're going to get with Zaha. It's going to get people off their seats.
Yeah, but equally, if I spin it a different way, if I offer you for roughly the same price, you can have Brazil's best player from the Copa America or a bloke who played a bit for the Ivory Coast in the AFCON. Who are you having?
I'd say Zaha, to be honest.
Still?
I don't think Arsenal are in a position to take a gamble with a player.
No, that's a good point.
In Champions League football, I don't think they're in a position to take gambles on players like that. They know you're going to get with Zaha. He's going to get you a few goals. He doesn't score a lot, Zaha. He makes a lot of goals. And he causes a lot of penalties and stuff like that. He gets a lot of that sort of thing. But I'm not saying Everton wouldn't do that, but I just think Zaha would be a lot more of a safer bet, if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. The message is clear. Arsenal need improvement and they need it now. Connor, thank you for joining me. Lovely to chat to you. Ticker-tacker Connor there. Connor Hum, Arsenal super fan, giving his take on the signings. Interesting, that point about Everton, because, yeah, he's not Premier League proven, but are we at a point now in the transfer rumour market where if you're not a player who's had two good seasons in the Premier League, you're automatically a risk? Is that the case? I mean, everyone eventually, or initially rather, comes to an English club without having played in England. You've got to make the step occasionally. And I think there's a broader point here about Arsenal's recruitment. They've been trying all summer to bring in a new director of football, whatever you call it, sporting director, whichever nonsense term for that nonsense role they're going for now. And you just wonder, as Arsenal fans, if you believe in the infrastructure that's set up at the club, if you believe in the people, Edu, the likes of that, who've been brought in to sign footballers, if you believe in those people, if you believe in the roles they're being told to do, their ability to do them, then you believe in Everton as a signing. You believe in that risk, as it were, rather than going, well, let's play it safe. Let's overpay for a bloke who's been quite good in the Premier League for quite a while and who Crystal Palace fans think is the second coming and everyone else thinks is quite good. I would rather see my club take a risk, personally. If I were an Arsenal fan, I'd be looking at this and going, take the risk. Because I know what Wilfred Zaha is. I know that he's going to score me, what, somewhere between 10 and 14 goals in the Premier League. And he'll set up somewhere between 5 and 12. And that'll be fine. If you tell me you're signing a little-known Brazilian who has broken in to that Brazilian team and lit up the Copa America, who has starred in the top division in South America, well, I could be signing the next Neymar, for all I know. I would rather take that risk. I would rather make a discovery. I think it could be something. And talking of making discoveries, I have to say, Connor there did make a very, very good point. Irving Lozano, a really good example of a player who we haven't heard very much about, linked to any club. I haven't seen a single link with Irving Lozano and anyone, despite the fact he had an absolutely sensational season for PSV over in Holland. He's pacey, he's electric with the ball at his feet. He had a very impressive World Cup, by the way, for Mexico, took Germany to pieces. This guy is a proper star of the future. He's grown up, really, from just wonder kid status. He's now a properly established top-class player who still wouldn't be that expensive. You'd get him for 25, 30, and you think, just get these guys in. The idea that all of your recruitment has to come from the Premier League is just nonsense. And it's encouraging as well to see other Premier League clubs be brave about who they sell. Manchester United, fine, Romelu. Hasn't worked out, mate. Go off to Inter Milan, play under Conte again, have a great time. I hope he makes you very happy. Spend the money on getting some lessons in grace and decorum. They can go and develop, and United in turn are just going, you know what, we don't need to spend the money. We don't need to bring in a big money replacement. We've got 17-year-old Mason Greenwood. He's quick, he's two-footed, he's dangerous in front of goal, and he is ready to develop in front of the Stretford end. We shouldn't be saying we don't want our clubs to take risks. Yeah, it's a results-based business, but would you rather have absolutely guaranteed mediocrity or a chance of horror, a chance of brilliance? I know what I'd go for. And talking of chances of horror and brilliance, an update for you from the Open. After a poor tee shot, McIlroy sends in a quality wedge out of the rough onto the green in a puttable position. Can he do it? That's on the 17th, still one off the cut. The margins are fine, as of course they always are in the transfer rumour mill. And I'll see you next time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.